This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us today. Your money matters now more than ever. That has been the name of this show since we started with Kurt Rogers, owner of Affordable Interest Mortgage. And we're here each week at this time to talk all things mortgages. 720-895-0500 is the number. And Kurt Rogers joins us once again. Always good to see you, my friend.
Nice to see you also. Just another beautiful day in Colorado.
Well, any weekly update here?
Yeah, the weekly update, I think we're going to start to see things move as far as mortgages. A lot of things have changed over the last week here. One of those is the inflation numbers came out, and inflation and unemployment is what has a tendency to affect mortgage rates. The inflation rate, everybody was talking, the Feds wanted it to get down around 2%, and we're there for the month of January. The inflation was 2%. So we're headed in that direction. Things are moving. And along with that, the unemployment rate, even though I want to explain why I think it's wrong, is at 4.3%. The Bureau of Labor Statistics comes out once a month with how many people they're hiring, how many people have left. And the most recent one, they talked about hiring 120,000 people. Well, if I look at the history of what the BLS does every month, mm-hmm. and then they'll come back and they'll change like December's numbers, or they'll change November's numbers in January. Well, they did that. Now, if they changed them 10%, that'd be okay. That's reasonable. But every month for all of 2025, when you total them up, they were off by over 60%, too high. Nope. So what that tells you is unemployment numbers are really higher. Well, Wall Street understands that. So with unemployment going up a little bit and the inflation rate going down, there's no fear in lowering rates. So we're starting to see that. And I think you're going to continue to see that throughout the year 2026. Does that mean it's going to go down to 5%? No. But I think we're going to get much closer to 5.5% and make it much more affordable for people to refinance or buy a home.
Mm-hmm. What are you seeing in the appraisal world? Are you seeing appraisals coming back?
If the home, and that's a great question, if the home has been upgraded, if the home doesn't look like it needs maintenance, they're bringing full value and appreciating it 4 to 5%. If your home needs TLC, if it needs the upgrading of a bathroom or a kitchen or carpeting or paint, mm-hmm. it's going to almost double negative affect you. I've seen homes in an area, and one appraisal will be $50,000 less than the other one because it has no upgrades. That's a lot of money because of no upgrades. Now, if you lower it, that's fine. It'll go.
Sure.
But it's because it still keeps the market. Home appreciation right now is still running at 1% to 2%. That's not what we're used to at, 4 to 5 to 6, which is the average. But it's still moving upwards in the times that we have. So the values are there if the home is worth it. If it's not, mm-hmm. you're going to get a lower price.
Right. What happens in the case when it doesn't come back enough? I mean, what are options for people?
It depends on what their loan to value is. For okay. example, if they want a loan to value of 80%, you could go to 85. If you want a 90% loan to value because the value was short, you have to do that. If you're purchasing, you have to bring more money. Mm-hmm. On refinance, you don't necessarily have to do that. So there's ways to work around that, and then there's just adjustments made to make that work. But if you're at a 95% loan to value on a purchase and all you got is 5%, you have to come up with more cash or you have to look at another home.
Right. Can you even do this where you tell the adjuster, hey, you need to look at this, go back and do that again? They don't do that, do they, or do they?
No, we do that.
Okay.
We have the ability when an appraisal comes in, and I've had this happen in the past, to where they appraise this one house, had a walkout basement onto the ninth hole of a golf course. And when it says basement as a line item as an appraised value, this appraiser put nothing in there. He gave no value to a walkout basement on a golf course. But when the appraisal came in, I said, this is wrong. So I contested the value, sent it to him, gave him comps showing the what other homes in that area with walkout basements on the course. He had to change the price by $100,000.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he just totally ignored it. And it was double because instead of losing 50, you had to add 50. So, yeah, you can contest value. But you don't contest value normally for 10 to 20,000.
Gotcha.
You need a pretty good sized number.
Right.
Because appraisers take it personally when a mortgage loan officer like me with no experience try to tell them they don't know what they're doing. Right. They're not fond of that idea.
I bet. Again, it's Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. When you call, let them know you heard them here on Your Money Matters. All right, Kurt, we've talked about a lot of loan programs, and you've mentioned some special ones before. And for those that have either an FHA loan or VA loan, thought we'd touch on those today. So what's the right term for those?
They're called streamlines. And right now they're very popular because what happens with a streamline is whatever, if you have an FHA or a VA loan, whatever your current rate is, if the rate has dropped by 0.5% or more, both FHA and VA will refinance that home, period. And the reason they do that is they'll take your current payoff as to what you owe in the home. They will not increase that except for the closing cost. And that's basically one payment. Your escrows will transfer, your refund on your mortgage insurance will be applied to the new loan. But they take that, they drop the rate by at least 0.5%, and they automatically refinance it. They don't care.
Wow.
Whether it's an FHA or VA. Now, the reason they do that, and I've said this before about streamlines, it's one of the few things that I see the government do things in mortgages that make sense. If you already own the home and your payoff is $400,000, your payment's $2,500, and you're already making those payments, how's it hurt them by you lowering it? It just guarantees to them that you're at least going to continue to make payments. Mm-hmm. You may be on the verge of having to sell the home or miss a couple payments. That streamlines because of rates, allows you to lower that down to be able to do other things and breathe a little easier. So it's a very good program that they offer.
Right.
And you can do it more than once. If you buy a home, 7 months later, rates have dropped, you can do it. You have to wait 7 months from one streamline to the next.
Okay.
A client I just closed, as a matter of fact, this morning, 2 years ago, we did an FHA loan. His rate was 6.75 2 years ago. So he got into a 2-1 buy-down. So his rate to start the first was 4.75. That payment was perfect. Young man just starting out. It then went to 5.75. So it was getting ready to go to 6.75, which was his rate. But the streamline, because he started at 6.75, his rate now is 5.625. So his rate came down almost a full point. He took advantage of it. He kept his payments lower, closer to where they were at 4.75. And he was able to save himself money, and he saved one payment. So he skipped a mortgage payment and dropped his rate.
All right. Now, I like when you start sentences with no, and here's a couple of things I want to read. No income requirements, no increase in base loan amount, and no appraisal required.
They don't appraise the property.
Yeah. No.
No. We don't. And the closing cost on a streamline is considerably lower because you don't need an appraisal. Who cares what the value is? The bank already owns it.
Yeah, sure.
So if the value went down, they're upside down already. Why wouldn't you want to help the customers stay in the home so maybe they don't foreclose? So that's another one of the smart things that they're doing. They don't raise the loan amount. His payoff was 304. That's what his new loan amount was, 304. And there's no income requirements. You have to prove to him you have a job. Now, in all other loans that I know, and I've been doing this 25 years, you have to prove, except for reverse mortgage, that you have a job. In this loan, you don't. Because if you're making the payments now and you don't have a job, they're going to assume you're going to continue to make the payments to do the streamline.
Mm-hmm.
So those aren't there's no requirement for them. It makes too much sense to have it happen.
Right. Now, you said you have to wait 7 months.
7 months.
What scenario would it have to be at to make sense to do it again? I mean, what would be a goal if you're going to save how much a month or whatever?
That's a great question, because if somebody here is saving 0.5% on a $200,000 loan, that savings might only be $80, $90 a month. But a person that's doing a $600,000 loan, that could be $160 to $200 a month. So you have to find that range. I have several customers now that are exactly in that. They're on the list, but I have to wait till the rate drops 0.75 point or a point to do the streamline to make financial sense. You don't want to go through and refinance it to save, most people don't. There might be somebody, but most people don't, to save $50 a month. You want to save more than that.
Sure.
So normal figure is anytime you're at 100 and a quarter, 100 to 100 and a quarter or above, it's well worth to do it, because remember, you really don't have a lot of closing costs. You're actually going to skip a month. So when you put it all together, it's not going to cost you more money to do the loan. You're actually saving money, but it needs to be substantiated over a period of time.
Right. Now, recently we did a show on this, but there's another type of loan. And is the right term a second HELOC?
It's a second position HELOC. There's a lot of people that have home equity lines of credit. They're in second position. And a line of credit and a HELOAN are two different things. A HELOC is a line of credit, which means it's adjustable. A HELOAN means it's a second that's fixed. So most people will do an adjustable, especially now with the rates coming down. So you may go out and say, I want to get $100,000, and the rate on it is 7%. Rate goes to 6%, your payment goes down. It's a HELOC. There's a lot of people do that, but there's a new one that's come out, and they put it in second position. And that's for those folks, they designed this loan for those folks that have rates at 2.5% on their fixed, or 3%, or 3.5%, or 4%. They have the equity, but they don't want to refinance their first mortgage and get rid of this rate, but they need the cash to pay off credit card debt. That's what this loan does. This loan, you have to be 55 or above.
Which
again,
is great. It was 62, right?
It was 62. It's now 55. Yeah. And you can get the second mortgage. You don't have to take the money. You just get to take it out. And the money just sits there. The payments are on the amount of money you actually borrow. So if you borrow $100,000 and your line of credit's $200,000, like a reverse mortgage, that extra $100,000 is going to increase in value as you go along. But it's you pay it off only when you sell it or move it. You have no payment on this second mortgage. Mm-hmm. So if you pull out $100,000, the only thing you're paying on is the principal on your first at 3%. So here's $100,000, no payment. And you get to, as long as you stay in the house, you never have a payment on that. When you go to sell the house, then you have to pay off that loan.
Right. And you have to keep up with, if there's HOA.
You have to keep your first mortgage.
Right.
You have to pay your taxes and homeowners insurance.
Right.
Have to keep the home in livable condition, which is what they basically are telling you have to take a bath once a week. You just have to do the right things on the house.
Right.
I mean, the simple basic things you already are doing, just continue to do those. Now, if you're older than 55, they give you a higher loan of value. At 62, it increases, and if you're at 80, they'll even give you a higher loan of value.
Okay.
That you never have to make payments on. So if you like that first mortgage to where it's at 3-4%, but you need cash, this might be a loan for you to look into. Minimum credit requirements are 640.
Wow. That should work for most.
Should work for most people.
Right.
Especially for those. I think it was really designed for the ones that have the lower first mortgage rates and they need cash to pay off some of the credit cards. I mean, you're dealing in interest rates on this loan considerably less than 21% on a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no payment to you.
Sure.
You don't have to write that check. So if you got credit cards of $40,000 or $50,000, you want to pay them off, it's costing you $1,200 to $1,500 a month. They're paid off, and you don't have the payment.
Wow. Hey, don't go anywhere. We got to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to give you a few more great benefits of this loan. We'll be right back.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands the way the jury thinks. In the context of a personal injury case, you've been hurt by someone else's negligence. The idea is that you're going to try to recover so that you can get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. What that really means from a jurist perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about six people that you don't know. Those six people view the evidence and make a unanimous decision that will decide what the fair value is. When you're the one who's hurt, you have a good idea of what you think it's worth. The question is, can you persuade those other individuals whom you don't know and were witnesses to believe that's what the case is worth? Kevin Flesh understands the way the jury thinks. Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886.
Need new glasses fast? With Stack Optical's on-site lab, you'll get your prescription glasses in just 3 to 4 days. No long wait times. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and I've trusted my eye care to Allen Stack and Stack Optical for the last 15 years. Eye exams are only $69, and that should be a part of your physical checkups each year. For over 50 years, Denver has trusted this family-owned boutique eye care center for premium vision care, custom eyewear, and expert repairs. See the Stack Optical difference today. Call 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. And tell them Scott sent you. Stack Optical. Since 1968, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
You're listening to KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome back to Your Money Matters. My name is Scott Watley, along with Kurt Rogers, Affordable Interest Mortgage. Kurt explained our first segment here about a streamlined program for folks that may currently have an FHA loan or a VA loan. Now we're talking about second HELOC kind of position. So what that means, it simply comes after your first mortgage.
After you pay off your first, whatever's left pays off your second.
Right. And this loan, hey, they changed the guidelines a little bit here. You used to have to be 62, now just 55 for that. And as Kurt just mentioned, if you are 62 or older, there is some higher loan-to-values. And even 82 or older, they increased that another 5%. So a lot to know here. And we brought this up on the last time, Kurt, we talked about this, but with Mike Genova from your office. And I think many people wonder about, again, I'm going to lose my house. The bank's going to own it. And, you know, we tried to straighten that out last time, but touch on that just a minute.
It's the same thing. The responsibility, if the house is depreciated out, the bank eats it. That's part of what the design of the system, because they're betting on the long-term continued appreciation of a home. In qualifying for this loan, there's no income requirement. You don't have a debt-to-income ratio when you're looking for the second mortgage. They have less fees and less documentation. They already know you own the home. Mm-hmm. They're looking for folks with a 640 FICO score above that are making their payments on time, and now we can relieve some of the pressure to give you more cash. All that does is help you move your finances for you.
Sure.
And save you money.
Right. And as Kurt said, hey, the qualifying is easier, no income, less documentation, fees are limited fees there, and you just got to keep up with those couple of things we just mentioned as far as HOA insurance, keep the house livable, those type things. And Kurt, when you look at the reasons people want to do this or might think about doing it is, and we said again, whatever you do with the money is up to you. There's nobody you have to fill out
forms. You don't have to get permission from somebody else.
But it may be some simple things like just improve your cash flow. Maybe just, look on your computer screen and see you got some money there just for that peace of mind. Hey, it may help out with some living expenses, some health care issues. Maybe it's time for some home improvements, home repairs, emergencies. They happen to all of us, and you need some extra money, and you know you got it right there. And as I said, just to know you got it. Hey, that rainy day we always talk about.
One of the thoughts, and I have a customer I'm talking with now, that they're thinking of getting their second so they can pull out the cash so they can do home improvements and in 6 months to a year turn around and sell it. They can't find the money to make the improvement. They don't want to take the hit on the appraisal. Mm. So to them, it makes all the sense in the world. Or somebody that has medical issues that are coming up and they need to have a little cushion, can't afford, your credit card debt's getting out of hand. this loan is perfect. It kind of fits that void pretty well. And it eliminates the need for the payment to give you time to breathe, to get back on your feet. Maybe you work for TSA and you're not getting paid, you need money.
Right.
I mean, there's all kinds of different reasons, but it can give you, if you want to make payments, you can, but you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got some nice benefits.
Right. All right. Investment properties. People might say, really, would that be a thing right now? You talk about being a buyer's market. Is now the time to consider maybe purchasing an investment property?
Let me ask you this question. If you're buying stock, do you want to buy it at the highest it is or at the lowest it
mm-hmm.
is? You want to buy it when it's kind of down.
Right.
Home values, as we talked about at the beginning, are not increasing as much, but they're staying pretty left. It's more of a buyer's market. So there's opportunity out there to buy property that in a year, two, 3 years from now, it's going to start appreciating at 7%, 8%, 9%. You're not buying for the investment. It's an investment.
Right.
So you're not buying for the return within the first 12 to 24 months. By buying something now when it's down there, as the rates come down, the opportunity is there, and we're seeing it in the numbers. The numbers are increasing. It was 16%. Now about 20% of the new purchases are investment buyers that are out there taking advantage of some of these homes that need to be fixed up and sold and get their money back.
Mm-hmm. What are a few things happening right now that would make it good?
Well, you have much more of a chance when you walk into a house that needs any kind of work. You get to negotiate. The sellers are coming up with more concessions. Now, if you're a professional investment buyer, you already know these things. You're already out buying it. But if you're thinking about buying it, you have the chance to go out there and maybe get a 2-1 buy down that really helps. You can do an investment property on a 2-1 buy down. So if the rate's, let's say, 6.5% or 7%, your first year it's 5.5%. So you got a chance to turn around and fix the home up before you sell it.
Mm-hmm.
Those opportunities are out there now. With the rates down, the sellers are motivated.
Now, what should some people know about purchasing if they've never done it before? What do you try to ask people, or maybe what would be some of your interview questions for them?
I ask them, why do you want to buy an investment property?
Yeah, kind of simple.
That's the first, because it can take them. Well, I want to own investment properties for my retirement. Okay, so if it doesn't appreciate within a year or two, are you okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Because like any it's an investment. It's not your home. Many people that want to get an investment property, when they go out to start looking, they say, well, I don't like the way that the house is laid out. It needs work here. We should change the color here. This is not a house you're going to live in. You're not buying this for you. You're buying it to rent.
Right.
What fits most of the people? What is somebody in that price range of home, what are they looking for? Whether it's a $300,000-$400,000 house or it's going to be an $800-$900 million property. I have clients that buy investment properties at $1 million. They'll buy a fourplex, live in one of them, and rent the other three, and they have no mortgage payment. What are you doing? Those are questions that I'm going to ask you. What are you thinking? Mm-hmm. Have you looked at all of it? Do you understand what it takes? It's not going to give you a great return the first year, but the tax advantages and the long-term effect. I have one client, he owns 56 rentals. Four of them are in his kid's name. Every time he had a child, he would go out and buy a rental property and put the child's name on the title, like Johnny LLC. And he kept a house, financed it for 15 years, kept a house so when his kid gets to college age at 18, here's the house that he's going to sell to pay for his college.
Hmm.
And he didn't do it, the tenants did it.
Yeah.
But he bought the house when the kid was born.
Wow.
Understanding how it's a long-term investment, it's not short-term.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there any specific loan programs designed to help us purchase an investment?
There actually is. They came out with it just a couple of years ago. It's called a DSCR. It doesn't matter, and I'm not trying to tell you you don't have to have a job to buy something, but with this one, you don't need a job to get this loan. You have to put the money down. On an investment property, you normally have to put 25% down. But whatever the payment is on the loan for that investment property, as long as you have a lease agreement that is higher than that payment and you don't have a bankruptcy or foreclosure, you can get approved.
Wow. Okay.
So you don't have to work. You have this, right? So if you have the cash and you want to turn it into an investment property that you can roll every 5 to 10 years, it allows you, as long as the payment on the mortgage is less than the amount of the as long as the payment on the mortgage, you are receiving more than that in rent, you're approved.
So would you just show them agreed leases or?
Just bring a lease, show the cash. You got to have a credit score of 680 and above. But the job part of it is what makes it nice. You don't technically, they're not going to count your income. They're just going to say, you see this rental property. If you buy that rental property and you're collecting, let's say, $3,400 a month in rent, and the payment's $3,200 a month, the bank will approve you.
Last 2 or 3 minutes here, but people always wonder, gosh, is it harder to qualify for something like that?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, again, Kurt will be honest with you. That's what we've always said.
They're going to want to see if you are going to, you do have a job or you're self-employed, they're going to want to see some tax returns. They're going to want to see that you actually have money that you, if you're trying to qualify for a standard loan. I understand if you go for that DSCR, because of the risk, the rate's going to be higher.
Mm-hmm.
So the rate's going to be reflected where? In your payment.
Right.
So if the payment is still more than what you're paying, than what you're receiving, you get to do the loan. So all of it's figured in, but the risk is higher. If you want a standard, I have clients like the guy that bought the fourplex. They'll go out and look at a duplex and live in one and rent the other one out. So the second property now becomes income for you, and the bank will count 75% of it. So if you're charging somebody $1,000 a month or $1,500 a month, say in half of a duplex, they're going to count 75% of it. So you get $1,000 a month for income. So it helps you qualify for the home.
Sure.
And you're going to live in one side of it. You got somebody else helping you. There's different ways of establishing buying investment properties. So when you come to me, tell me what you're looking at doing. Tell me what you're thinking, what the process that you want it to be.
Right.
And then I can sit with you.
Right. Folks, there can be some great benefits from this. And Kurt, I guess you can do condos, townhouses, duplexes.
You can do all of them. Okay. You can do a manufactured home.
Okay.
As long as you have a rental agreement and it's a property.
Right.
The banks will do that.
Yeah. Kurt can help you out. It's affordable interest mortgage, 720-895-0500. When you call, let them know you heard them here on Your Money Matters. We'd appreciate that as well. Your disclosure, sir?
NMLS 217-147, regulated by DORA, equal credit lender. And let's have some snow.
Yes, sir. All right, Kurt. Appreciate your time. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
Riding an e-bike will make you feel like a kid again. Just try it. Hi, I'm Randy Kranzi, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride around town. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Looking to gear up for your next hunt, fishing trip, or camping adventure? Head to the Outdoorsman's Attic, Colorado's largest consignment store for hunting, fishing, and camping gear, located at 2650 West Hamden. Hey, this is Scott with Sportsman of Colorado Radio, and you'll find wall-to-wall outdoor gear to firearms and ammo. You'll find incredible selection at unbeatable prices, plus clothing over 90 days old is up to 50% off, so there's always great deals waiting. Whether you're upgrading gear or just getting started, the Outdoorsman's Attic is a must stop. Mention Sportsman of Colorado for additional discounts. It's the Outdoorsman's Attic, where smart outdoorsmen shop. Tell them Scott sent you. It's 2650 West Hamden.
How much do you need to lower your monthly mortgage payment? $200, $300, $400 or more? As rates decline, take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Over 24 years of saving Coloradans money. Low rates, lower payments, less costs. What makes us different is we listen. As an independent mortgage broker, we shop the top lenders to save you the most. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. want to purchase your next home? You can't qualify unless you sell your current home. Let us show you how to get the down payment out of your current home, qualify for the new one, and then sell yours for the most. Affordable interest mortgage, 720-895-0500. So you want to buy a home. Let us show you loans that can save you money, low down payment, first-time home buyer specials, fixed rates in the fours with buy-downs. Call for details, 720-895-0500, or apply now at aimortgage.net. That's affordable interest mortgage, where it's all about you. Regulated by DORA, NMLS, 217-147, Equal Credit Lender.
560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome to Medicare and More with Jim Gary, brought to you by Silver Sherpa Inc. Just like a Sherpa guides climbers up the mountain, Jim is here to be your trusted guide up Mount Medicare. With years of experience and a heart for helping people, Jim makes the confusing world of Medicare simple and clear. Each week, we'll bring you tips, insights, and answers to your questions so you can make confident decisions about your health care. Now it's Medicare and More with your host, Scott Whatley, and your guide up Mount Medicare, Jim Gary.
And we'd like to welcome you to Medicare and More, once again, brought to you by Silver Sherpa, Inc. Check out the website. Hey, you learned some stuff about Medicare right there, Sherpa123.com. Their phone number, they're always standing by to help you, 303-865-5534. Again, that's 303-865-5534. Hope everyone's enjoying a great summer. Our host just got back from a little road trip as well, so... Jim, good to have you back.
Thank you very much. Yes, early in June, I went out to Boston and New York and places like that. And
I've never been to Boston. What's it?
You got to go. Really? Yeah. You know, the whole original 13 colonies are phenomenal, you know, but Boston, I mean, just as an example, you stumble into Paul Revere's home
right
there, and they do these walking tours on something called the Freedom Trail. You follow these bricks have been laid out all around the city, special colored bricks. You can do self-guided, but you pay for it. It's worth it. And a guide takes you to where Benjamin Franklin did this and John Hancock did that. And it's just Bunker Hill. Hmm. And you find out things like the Bunker Hill Monument is not really on Bunker Hill. So it's just a phenomenal, phenomenal city to realize that. And we're not even talking 200. We just had July 4th.
Yep, yep.
Happy Independence Day. So it's not even about being 250. It's older than 250 because, of course, that's where everything started, the Revolutionary War, some of the battles. One of the things we learned on one of our tours is what's the famous saying that Paul Revere said as he's driving through town on his horse?
The British are coming?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not what he said.
Oh, what
do
you say?
Right. If I was on Jeopardy,
right,
and it was Final Jeopardy, and I was in first place, and I had 20,000, I'd bet the entire 20,000 it was the British are coming.
Right.
But keep in mind, this is happening in the 1700s, and in the 1700s, we're all British. There's no America. So Revere is British.
Oh.
Right? So by saying the British are coming, you're saying, yeah, okay, so... Big deal. I'll shoot you. You're a Brit, right? So what he said was, and I wish I could remember. I'm not going to know it now. It was the standards are coming or the uniforms are coming. It was not the British are coming.
Really?
Yes, and I understand kind of why history has perverted it because they wanted us to understand that he was warning the incoming. But could they have used a different word, like maybe the soldiers are coming or the enemy is coming? Why do you use the term, if he didn't say British, don't say British, because now it makes sense. We all are Brits, really. Right?
True.
So it's stunning when I learned that. What else did I learn up there that I just could not believe? My wife and I, Sharon and I, looked at each other and like, are you kidding me? They say education's bad today. We both learned the same thing. It was one of the foundational things of our founding. I can't think of it. Anyway, wonderful town. Get there.
Right, yeah. Right. You know, I was looking at some things with July 4th just passing yesterday, and a guy showed me, and he said he looked up something that said 10 lesser-known facts about the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And I'm not going to go through all, but a couple I thought were really, really neat. One, some of the delegates signed weeks or even months later. Some signatures were added as late as 1777. John Hancock, his signature is real big.
Yes.
Okay. Why is that? According to legend, which means it must be true, he wanted King George III to be able to read it without spectacles. He wanted him to know without any shadow of a doubt that was John Hancock.
Okay.
And you've had people say sometimes, like, put your John Hancock here.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of weird, yeah.
Yeah.
But there was quite a few things.
It's funny you mentioned that. That's the one I forgot about. So here's what our tour guide told us about that, okay? There were two reasons he signed large, but the bigger reason wasn't that one. He thought he was going to be the only signatory on there, or one of two.
He didn't
realize there were going to be as many after him. So he was trying to take up as much space on the declaration as possible.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That is cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know the other one. Oh, yeah. This is the Boston Massacre. So this feeds into back in the day. We think social media and clickbait are 21st century terms. Clickbait was going on back then. So in your mind, I don't need chapter and verse, but when I say Boston Massacre, how many people do you think got killed in the Boston Massacre?
Man, I'm embarrassed.
Okay.
I feel like those people, like on the – you remember how they used to walk around with microphones and ask people questions about stuff?
Yeah,
I have no clue.
But the term massacre would leave you to believe.
Yeah, thousands.
It was her. There you go.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. So here's the full story. So British troops – And Patriots are facing off in Boston, but not in a war posture.
Mm-hmm.
Just the Patriots are shouting at them, you know,
gotcha.
Get out of here, the king, long die the king, stuff like that, right? The numbers are there's twice as many Patriots as the soldiers, the British soldiers. So the soldiers are getting a little agitated and everything, but they have orders from their head not to shoot. Okay, so the protesters, the Patriots, the Pilgrims, start throwing rocks and bottles at the soldiers, and you're led to believe that the soldiers got a little ticked off and started shooting, gunning people down. What turns out, what happened was one of the rocks or bottles that was thrown at the British soldier hit his musket just right and discharged a bullet, and it did hit a guy and kill him. Now when that happened, the British commander realized that happened, it was a mistake, and he yelled out, "Don't fire," but all they heard on the line was "fire." So the British soldiers gunned down the Patriots in front of them, and I forget the exact number. It was a very small number
really?
That got killed. Yeah. A dozen, maybe.
Oh, wow.
But the guy that, I forget, is one of our founding fathers, the guy that wrote the newspaper article that got posted the next day realized if you said a handful of Patriots got gunned down in an accidental shooting, well, you're not going to be ticked off at the king. So how do we create insurrection? How do we get these Brits out of here? How do we create momentum towards displacing this foreign power? Well, we call it a massacre. We call it the Boston Massacre, and British troops ruthlessly shot at, and it never said that 12 people were killed due to an accidental firing. So I thought to myself, how we tend to put ourselves in today, well, you know, all these headlines are bogus. Can you imagine if this happened 200 – it was happening 300 years ago. They used the term massacre to incite the revolution.
And that does happen
today. Isn't that amazing?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the other thing we learned in Boston. It's not like I'm I belong in the Boston Chamber of Commerce. So where the Boston Massacre happened, they now position it about 30 yards west of where it really happened. It actually happened right now where major streets intersect.
Okay.
And people used to take pictures and were getting hit by cars because they wanted to be right on the spot. So the Boston Tourism Department decades ago decided to start telling a white lie to save lives and say it happened there on the sidewalk. It really didn't. It happened in the street in front of the sidewalk, but they don't want people to know that.
Oh,
so, my gosh. Yeah, anyway, go to Boston. It's great.
All right, good deal. Well, you are listening to Medicare and More, as I mentioned, brought to you by Silver Sherpa Inc. And we are glad you're with us. If you know, hey, here I have a question. Get in touch with us here at the station. You know, I know our time is short here each week, but if you've ever got questions, you know, you can email me, scott@haystackhelp.com. You can text 720-201-8585, and we'll get your questions to Jim. And I bring that up because we did get a question in last week, and we're going to go through that a little bit. But, Jim, a person asked, and I haven't even heard of COBRA in years, but they said, is COBRA, and I'll let you explain what that is for our listeners, is COBRA ever going to fit someone's need from a coverage basis and a financial basis? So
yes.
I'll let you explain how COBRA even comes about.
Yes. Yes, comma, it depends, as with every form of insurance. Yes, it depends. So first of all, how does it come about? It comes about when you're on an employer insurance plan, group insurance through your employer, and you get laid off, fired, otherwise displaced. It doesn't matter whether it's voluntary or involuntary. They're legally obligated to offer you 18 months worth of COBRA coverage post-termination. Now, when they offer it to you, it's the same insurance policy, same healthcare policy you had while you were employed, only now there's no employer contribution.
Yep.
So now you pay 100% of the cost of that policy. And many of us don't realize that have been working for 30, 40 years, we've heard complaints and we read articles about how expensive healthcare is. Until you're told to pay for it yourself, you have no idea what your employer's
exactly.
paying for,
yeah.
okay?
Yeah.
So that's what COBRA comes about, and it's going to be expensive. So the question is, should I pay for COBRA or go into the private market? And it depends on how old you are. So let's say you're not yet Medicare eligible, you're under age 65.
Okay.
The answer is going to be probably the cheapest option for you is going to be if you're married and your spouse is working, check into your spouse's employer coverage to see if you can get an employer-subsidized plan through your spouse.
Okay.
If you're not married or your spouse isn't working, very limited options for people under 65 if you don't have the employer option. So we do offer what we call here at Silver Sherpa individual plans. There's not many, and they're not great. I'll give you an example. People always want to know what kind of insurance I have. I'm on an individual plan that I purchased myself, and I pay for out of pocket. I pay $1,300 a month for a plan with a $5,000 max out of pocket. It's not great coverage, okay? It's a nice network, PPO, all that kind of stuff. I'm glad to have it.
Sure.
Okay. I know I can't go bankrupt. $5,000, I can handle that, but I'm paying $1,300 a month for it. Could I have paid less? Sure. I could have paid $700 a month, give or take, for a plan with a $10,000 max out of pocket. I just want better coverage.
Right.
So, but that's not Obamacare. That's an individual plan, and I had to medically qualify for that. So if I had type 2 diabetes, if I had pulmonary embolism, if I was obese, if I had huge blood pressure issues, I probably couldn't have qualified for that, and which means once you can't qualify for individual coverage off exchange, you're forced on the exchange, which is Obamacare, mm-hmm. ACA, whatever you want to call it. Colorado calls it connectforhealthcolorado.com.
Right.
Just go to their website. These are the government-subsidized plans, and the reason they call it Obamacare, it's not a pejorative term. Obama got the legislation passed. We're not making a political statement.
Right, sure.
So, and what that means is Obama's idea was and continues to live this way, that people with lesser means should pay less for insurance. So the concept, as with all liberal concepts, excuse me for politicizing this, but with all liberal concepts, they sound good in theory, but in practice, they're a disaster. And that's what Obamacare is. It's a disaster if you make a decent amount of income. If you're the ones being subsidized, man, Obamacare is the best thing ever invented.
Right.
Because if you're being subsidized on the exchange, you're getting coverage at or near $0 a month, no exaggeration, with very low deductibles, extremely low copays, and a max out of pocket of a couple thousand a year. You have exceptional coverage at very little cost. But the higher your income goes, the more you're being forced into a plan that's going to give you a premium north of $1,000, probably closer to $1,200, with a deductible of $5,000 and a max out-of-pocket of $10,000, or combinations like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I told you I was paying $1,300, not on the exchange.
Right.
I'm paying $1,300 with a $1,000 deductible of $5,000 max. If I was on the exchange, because I'm not eligible for subsidies, if I was on the exchange, I'd be paying $1,400 a month for a plan with a $7,000 deductible and a $9,500 max out of pocket. That's why I opted to pay $1,300 for superior coverage. But those are my choices.
Right.
Pay $1,300 for a good policy or $1,400 for a terrible policy. So just get ready. You don't have many options if you're under 65 and don't have the group option.
Okay.
That's all I can tell you there. If you're middle income ish, 50, 60, 70,000, you're going to come out okay on the Obamacare exchange. So COBRA is simply a mathematical analysis, which we'll complete for you. We'll do a side-by-side analysis. Should I pay for COBRA? You're going to see COBRA is probably going to run you north of $1,000, mm-hmm. full cost of your policy, but it's the same policy you're on now.
Right.
So just, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Do I like my current coverage? Yeah. Is it worth what my employer's telling me I'm going to have to pay full price, $1,200, $1,500 a month? And your only option.
And if you have some health issues and you're on that, it may be smarter to go to that because you can't get approved, right?
On the, you know, Obamacare is automatic issue.
Okay.
Obamacare is like Medicare.
Okay.
They cannot decline you on the government exchange, Connect for Health Colorado.
Gotcha.
So don't worry about that. But what you're going to find is the Obamacare plans are all HMO, limited network plans, mm-hmm. where you have to fit yourself into a network, where most employer plans tend to be more liberal, like PPO, easier to access, more doctors, things like that. So before you make the jump over to Obamacare, if you're not going to be subsidized, if your income doesn't permit a subsidy, before you jump to Obamacare, really look hard at your policy through your employer. If you've been treating for multiple conditions, you might have the doctors you need, the medications are appropriately priced, and you're in a rhythm. Stay in that rhythm.
Right.
The closer you are to 65, if you're within 18 months of turning 65, most people just ride it out and say, I'm not married or I don't have a group option through my wife. I'm not going to Obamacare. I'm just going to pay the huge premiums and cross my fingers till I get to Medicare at 65.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's how COBRA works.
Right.
It's god-awful expensive, but don't expect there to be a lot of cheaper options unless you're heavily subsidized on the Obamacare exchange. And again, we can help you do that analysis.
Sure.
Yeah.
You've mentioned this over the last several shows that in your workshops, a lot of people are saying, oh, well, I'm planning on working
yeah.
a couple years. Then maybe they come back to a workshop or they call you 30 days later, 60 days
yeah.
later, 90 days later, and say, well, guess what? My plan wasn't the boss's plan.
That's right.
And you're seeing that more, right?
It's rampant. So people are familiar with the terms sexism and racism. Where you're discriminated against a class of people based on gender or skin color. What's going on in the marketplace now is ageism. There is no question
right.
about it. You can't prove it, but as someone who's on the receiving end of people who are being victimized because of their age, I see it all the time. And I have ready, willing, able, intelligent people with 30 years of experience at their job that bring a lot to the table, and their mental acuity is as sharp as ever, being laid off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're not being told they're laid off because they're 65, 66, 67, but that's exactly what's happening. So why would an employer do that? Well, several reasons. Number one, you demand a lot more money than the recent college graduate
sure.
or the 30-year-old, something like that. So you're getting paid multiples of what they think they can replace you for. But as important, and don't minimize this, your health insurance is driving the cost of their group coverage through the roof. So they're trying to get you off of their group coverage, and here's what they're not allowed to do legally. They can't say to you, hey, dude, you're 65. We're going to pay for you to go on to, we want you off our coverage. We'll pay you. Go on to Medicare. We'll reimburse you for Part B. We'll reimburse you for your supplement. They cannot bribe you to go off their group coverage. I don't know why that is. I wish they'd let you do that because it would keep the cost of group insurance down.
Sure.
It would allow them to employ more people over 65. But it's against the law. In fact, one of the questions on some of the Medicare app, when you apply for Medicare, some of the questions is when you're over 65, has your employer told you it's mandatory to get this insurance, or are you doing this of your own free will? Something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But where I was going with that is ageism, people are getting laid off. So we have people all the time, Dylan and I, at these workshops, as we talk to them before and afterwards, and they all tell us the same thing. I'm 64 and a half. I'm approaching 65. But guys, I'll be in touch with you probably when I turn 67, 68, later in my 60s, because I'm going to keep working. I love my job, doing great. My employer loves me, you know, that kind of thing. And I said, no, I know your employer loves you. There's no question they love you. You're doing a great job. But your employer is also has a separate calculator where they're adding up how much you're costing them, and they're not comfortable with that.
Yeah.
So most employers, as much as they love you, they're going to dump you before you're ready to be dumped. So do as much as you can with us before then as possible, meaning, you know, get on our mailing list at a minimum for the retirement report newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
So each month you're up to date on what's going on with Medicare, so that when the early termination comes that you don't want and don't expect, we're not starting over with you, but you get all, oh yeah, that's right, over the last 6 months. Anyway, where I'm going with all this is people, most people's magic number is 67.
Okay.
Because that's full retirement age now in Social Security's eyes. You can retire and get your full Social Security check. So they're trying to hang until 67. I would say, no exaggeration, 70% of those people are getting laid off at 65 and a half, 66.
Yeah.
It's truly, and they're stunned. They can't believe it. They truly thought they were irreplaceable.
And nowadays, I don't know about you, me growing up, that sounded ancient.
Yes.
Now that I'm 68, that's young.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
It is, yeah. Yeah, you know, and with as much as prices have gone up over the last 4 to 5 years, what's happening a lot of times is it's not just a age 67 issue, I'm waiting for my Social Security for retirement. It's I can't afford to retire. I have to continue to work to make money to pay for home expenses. Maybe they still have a mortgage, things like that. So there's a financial need. A lot of people who get laid off, and you're allowed to do this, go on to Medicare because they have to. Remind me to circle back to COBRA.
Okay.
It's important. They go on to Medicare because they have to when they get laid off. But they're on Medicare for a year. They get a new job with benefits that are cheaper than Medicare.
Okay.
And you're allowed to go off of Medicare once you've been on it. You're not on. That's not a lifetime decision.
Okay.
So a lot of people call us back a year later and say, I finally got a great job. It's got wonderful benefits. I want to shut off my part. You can't give A back. Once you're on hospital coverage, remember, it doesn't cost you anything.
Sure.
You can't say shut that off. But you can say, hey, I don't want to pay for Part B. I have full employer coverage again. And then Medicare will suspend it for you. And once you lose your coverage again, later, they'll put you back on B. So anyway, just know Medicare is not a final decision if you're continuing to look for work.
Right.
Which brings us back to COBRA. You asked a great question. COBRA, when you're pre-Medicare, before your 65th birthday, COBRA is called primary insurance. So when you go have a medical procedure, doctor or hospital, the bill goes directly to your COBRA insurance company. Whoever you were with at your employer,
right.
Aetna, Cigna, whoever your plan was with, you continue to be with. And they pay the bill and it's done, whatever, 80% of the bill. However, once you turn 65, by law, this is a federal law, COBRA policies are secondary. They're not primary. They cannot pay as a primary payer. So, Scott, I'll ask you a question, multiple choice. Do health insurance companies want to pay for your health insurance claim?
No.
Okay.
Bite you at every end of it.
If they're looking for any loophole, right? So the first thing a health insurance company does when they get a claim, they check your age. And if you're over 65 and you're on a COBRA policy, that you're not actively employed, you're on COBRA,
mm-hmm.
They're going to deny your claim and say, wait a minute, submit it to your primary payer first. I don't have a primary payer. I got laid off. That's not our fault. We're a secondary insurer. You're over 65. You're rejected. Well, just pay the 20%. I'll pay the 80. No. You don't get it. If we're a secondary payer, the bill can't come from your provider. It has to come from your primary payer. So who's the only primary payer after age 65, Scott? Right.
Yeah.
Medicare.
Sure.
You have to be on Medicare.
So although you got it for 18 months, once you get 65, this would be the takeaway for today, right?
100%.
Once you hit 65, you ain't got it for 18 months.
You do not. You have nothing. You have a piece of blank policy.
Okay.
7-second delay took that out. You do. You've got nothing. I know you're paying $1,200 a month for something that says Cobra, something that says low copay, low deductible. No, it doesn't apply to you. Cobra is secondary. Run, don't walk to Silver Sherpa, because we've got to get you onto Medicare yesterday. And the good news about Medicare is, a little advance here, we help people get you. We help people sign up for Medicare. You say, well, of course you would, Jim. You make money in that. No, we don't. We make money on the private insurance policy, supplements and advantage plans, drug plans, dental coverage, all those kinds of things. We don't make a dime helping you sign up for Medicare. Why are we doing it? Because we want you to do it right.
Right.
And if you get laid off, you've got to get on if you're over 65 and you don't have any other health insurance options.
Right.
I shouldn't say any other. You don't have any other unless your spouse, you have a spouse with employer coverage. You cannot go on Obamacare after 65. You can't use your Cobra. So run, don't walk to us. Call us, 303-865-5534. Get on the phone with us. We will get you on a phone call that day and have you enrolled into Medicare. Why is it so important that day? Because the day you apply for Medicare, they call it your protected filing date. So if you're calling us on June 30th, July 31st, the very last day of a month, they're not going to approve you overnight.
Right.
But you filed in June for coverage. That means when they issue your Medicare, which could be as late as August, they're going to backdate it potentially all the way to June 1st because you applied in June.
Interesting.
Protected filing date. So it's huge. So don't – we always tell people – I know we only got a couple minutes left here. We always tell people that are over 65 that plan to work until they're 97 and they get laid off sooner – do not wait to call us the next day when you're in the parking lot with your cardboard box
because
you were kicked out. Call us from the parking lot. That's how important it is that we start the timer on your Medicare application because Cobra is garbage for you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Silver Sherpa Inc., independent brokers, hey, they're there to take care of you. Their allegiance is to you, their client, not to any insurance company. We want to mention this. Go to Sherpa123.com. They offer educational workshops. Not going to bore you with dates right now. Just simply go to the website, click on the events tab, find a location, a library near you, sign up. It's crucial you do that. These are absolutely free of charge, and I promise you they will be worth every second of your time. And even if you're not turning 65 for a few more months, maybe even in the next year, get to one of these workshops. Meet Jim and Dylan, the team at Silver Sherpa. And once again, they'll help you. And we're here every week at this time, so I hope you'll join us every Tuesday here. You may hear this re-air on different days, but our main show is Tuesdays at 12:30 right here on KLZ 560. So, Jim, as always, appreciate your time, sir.
Great show, Scott. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Again, Silver Sherpa, Inc., give them a call, 303-865-5534.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.